Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Happy Friday, everybody. Alan Sanders here with you on the Eric Erickson Show, heard live throughout the state of Georgia on his radio network. Pleasure to be back here in studios with you on another Friday, cruising you into February. Last day of January. Can you believe the first month of the year already done and in the books? And we've got a lot going on. Politically, this is already going to be a big year. It's an election year for the president. It's an election year for a lot of local races, a lot of state races, a lot of congressional races. And so it continues to show a lot of there's going to be a lot on our plates. We've got next week the State of the Union address, where the president will get before Congress, or actually before both houses of Congress, and deliver his State of the Union. Probably going to be an interesting one to watch. Then next Friday, a week from today, you've got the 8th Democrat National Debate. It's going to be a 3-hour debate that'll go from 8 to 11. We'll see how that goes. The last debate and the last several debates, in my opinion, have been very lackluster, more about stump speeches and softballs than actually becoming battle-tested. The question there is going to eventually be, what do you do once you decide that you've got a winner? How are they going to handle themselves against Donald Trump later this year, when there's the debates between the Republican side and the Democrat side? Right now you're getting the primaries, you're getting the DNCs all trying to battle it out. You had John Delaney decide to drop out today. He's only been at 1%. He's been a moderate throughout. Couldn't get anything close to attraction for a campaign. He said, I want to get out now before the Iowa caucuses, which, by the way, is coming up Monday. He said, I figured if there's some other more moderate candidates, they could. I don't want to split that vote away from them. So all that's happening next week. You've got Monday, the Hawkeye Caucus. You've got Tuesday, State of the Union. Friday, the next round of debates on the Democrat stage. But all of that is going to be, you know, kind of pushed back until we have the rest of the day play itself out. We've watched this week as the impeachment has gone on. And we got to the point where we got to Q&A, where you had about 180-some questions asked over 2 days and over 16 hours, or right at about 60, a little over, I guess, when you consider breaks and things, 16 hours of Q&A that continued to show how orchestrated all of this was. Now, did you watch any of it? Did you listen in on some of it? Have you caught some of these sound bites? Did you learn anything new? That's the big thing. Did you learn anything at all new? There were some things I did learn listening through the impeachment. And one of the more interesting things was this notion, and this goes back to when I was last talking with you all about the two different articles of impeachment, the abuse of power. I thought it was interesting when Alan Dershowitz made a fantastic argument. He said, all presidents do things that, in retrospect, are there to benefit themselves. I mean, think about that for just a moment. Let's just analyze that one little piece of what has been put on display for us this week in the well of the Senate. If you follow the Democrats' line of thinking, if you follow their logic, if you're the Adam Schiff supporter out there right now, what you are hearing is if a president does something that benefits him politically, it's an abuse of power. Well, that's kind of a wide paintbrush stroke, don't you think? Don't you think that's a fairly, not very specific sort of circumstances or a very wide criteria for abuse of power? Because what president, now, the past, or in the future, is ever going to say, you know, to avoid an appearance of abuse of power, I should probably make sure that I follow through or enact policies that are detrimental to my office? See, when you start to look at things from different angles and perspectives, not the one that Adam Schiff is showing you directly, because Adam Schiff is putting on a show. And granted, so are the Republicans. But I think Adam Schiff is putting on a show of fiction. The Republicans are trying to demonstrate, well, that's great if you only look at it from this angle. But when you look at it from here, or here, or here, or here, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't. It's as effective as a screen door on a submarine. You have to look at it from different perspectives. And when Alan Dershowitz pointed this out, not saying that a president is allowed to do everything bad either, which is where, of course, Adam Schiff and his company took that statement. Alan Dershowitz argued that every move a president makes, you want them doing things that they believe is good for the country, which would then be good for themselves. Why would you ever knowingly go forth and make a move that would be detrimental to your presidency, detrimental to your party, detrimental to the office, detrimental to the country? So when you start looking at how they're arguing the abuse of power as, well, he wanted to do bad. He did do bad. In our estimation, it was bad. He's a bad man. He did bad things. He was wrong. Well, first, you didn't prove it. You had no fact witnesses that would say beyond a doubt, no paper that showed beyond a doubt. You had a lot of hearsay. You had a lot of conjecture. You had a lot of, well, we know what's in his mind and we know what's in his heart. We just think he was wrong to even entertain the idea that there may have been corruption in the Ukraine at the exact same time that Joe Biden was given the Ukrainian portfolio to be responsible for, as his son is serving on the board of one of the most corrupt energy companies there. President Trump is going to do things in his mind, and he has stated this over and over and over, things that are great for the country, great for America. And he's doing it from his perspective. So, of course, everything he accomplishes, every path he goes down, every treaty he's going to sign, every negotiation he's going to have, every new or renegotiated trade deal is all there in his mind to benefit the country. But if it benefits the country, it is also going to benefit him politically. He is going from place to place campaigning on the notion of his successes. He wants the advantage. He wants the popularity. He wants the support that comes from those wins. So when you just have a blanket abuse of power to mean anytime you're doing something that can benefit you is an abuse of power, well, that's just ridiculous, because if that's true, then the exact mirror opposite must also be true, that the only way to avoid the appearance of an abuse of power is you have to do everything to hurt your office. You can never do anything that would benefit you. You have to do everything within your power to choose the wrong answer so it doesn't come back and look like you were intentionally doing something that could benefit you while it's benefiting the country, while it's benefiting jobs, while it's benefiting trade, while it's benefiting world relief, or whatever it happens to be. The other thing Adam Schiff is very, very good at is pulling so many things out of context, not giving you the whole picture, and then throwing hypotheticals around it. But the problem with Adam Schiff is he often talks himself into corners because, see, Adam Schiff is so proud. He has such a sense of hubris, such a sense of arrogance that he believes that he has already argued a case that is beyond the shadow of a doubt. Beyond the shadow of a doubt. He does not believe at all that there is any question whatsoever as to whether or not the president is guilty. He believes their case is open and shut. Well, that's fantastic. If it's open and shut, then why do you need to go further? Why are you asking for more? Why are you demanding the Senate do the job you were supposed to do? You said you apparently completed it. You said you're done. You don't need anything more. But oh no, you do. In fact, I've got a quote here, a bite. I want to play Jay Sekulow, president's attorney, actually addressing this point about what Adam Schiff said about being, that he's already completed his case.
And now they're saying, well, now we need witnesses. After 31 or 32 times you said you proved every aspect of your case. That's what you said. Well, you didn't. He just said he did. Well, then I don't think we need any witnesses.
That's a great point. That's a great point, don't you think? If you've got the lead prosecutor, the House manager, who says repeatedly, we've already proven our case. I'm saying this to you folks out there that are on the fence. You folks out there who think that the Senate is somehow not doing their job if they don't expand the investigation. I'm talking to you out there who don't necessarily like the president. I'm talking to you folks out there who downright hate the president. You folks who would rather see him removed from office than have the ability to fight for another term this fall. I'm trying to get you to understand, Adam Schiff cannot have it both ways. You cannot say, in one respect, I have argued my point so effectively, so overwhelmingly, so completely that we have proven it. Not just beyond a doubt, we've proven it. There is no other way to see it. But just to be sure, we think the Senate should bring in more people for us to talk to. Well, either you either proved your case or you didn't prove your case. And it is the burden of proof that belongs on the side of the prosecution, not the innocent. I'm so tired of hearing people like Nancy Pelosi and others, Elizabeth Warren, saying, you know, if the president has nothing to fear, why shouldn't he worry? He's got nothing. You know, if he can prove his innocence, why not just do it? I'm like, really? That's not how our system works. That's not how it's ever worked. You don't have the person who you're accusing of committing a crime have to prove their innocence. It's up to the investigative body and the prosecution to do the due diligence to find where the crime is provable. Adam Schiff says, we've proven it. Here you go. Oh, by the way, we need more. And oh, by the way, the Senate, we want you to help us do the job we didn't do effectively in the House. Jay Sekulow is absolutely right. I'm going to play this again. When he talks about the need for additional witnesses.
And now they're saying, well, now we need witnesses. After 31 or 32 times you said you proved every aspect of your case. That's what you said. Well, you didn't. He just said he did. Well, then I don't think we need any witnesses. And now they're saying.
And now I don't think we need any more witnesses. You said 31 or 32 times I've already proven my case. So if you're out there and you're on the fence, or if you're an anti-Trump individual, if you are pro-prosecution, you're the pro-House manager team, how do you reconcile that in your head? Why should this drag out? Why should we add more witnesses? What are you hoping to hear? Is this designed to be a smear campaign? Is this designed to dig up additional dirt to benefit people running for office? Now, wait a minute. I thought the whole righteous reason we were in this to begin with is we have somebody who's going to be running again, and you think that he was trying to dig up dirt to benefit himself in the next election. And yet here you are. You want to throw additional witnesses in for the sole purpose of what? Adam Schiff proved his case. He said so. If he proved his case, then why are we going through with this? Why are we moving forward with the call for more witnesses? So when we come back, let's talk about what happened last night about this idea of witnesses, because that is what's going to be argued today. The witness arguments, there'll probably be some motions on the floor, and then I'm going to make a prediction. I can't tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl, but I can pretty well predict what is going to happen today, barring some ridiculous bombshell that is on no one's radar at the moment. All right, working on some audio here, and my laptop's having some fun with me, so let's see what I can do. Got a break coming up at the bottom of the hour, so let me give you that phone number, by the way, 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425. Keep that in mind. You can also follow me on social media. I'd love if you guys would join me. I try to keep as active as I can on my Twitter account when it comes to politics. I sometimes will do a lot of real-time tweeting when it comes to, you know, State of the Union, big events, the impeachment, things like that. You can find me at Alan J. Sanders. That's A-L-A-N-J Sanders on Twitter. You can also find my public Facebook page at The Alan Sanders Show. And if you prefer to send me a question or a comment or something through those mediums, that would be fantastic as well. I wanted to get into the witness part of the case and talk about where some of the senators fall as it relates to last night, because last night We actually had a couple of breaking events. We had one, we had Senator Lamar Alexander say, and he was one of the ones that we were holding out on, saying, you know, which way is he going to lean? We had four Republicans we were really watching: Susan Collins, Lamar Alexander, Lisa Murkowski, and Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney has already said, well, you know, it'd be kind of nice to get John Bolton in here. It seems we need to hear from him. Not that I hate the president, although I hate him. I'm going to smile and say, I think it'd be awful nice to talk to Bolton. I think we should do that. He hasn't said if he's going to vote for it. He just said, I think it's going to be nice. We have no idea one way or the other, but let's just go ahead and put him in the he's going to vote for it. You need four to change, to make the to swing it completely over, to give the Democrats the 51 vote. Four of them. If three change, you get a tie. If two change, the Senate still has, the Republicans still have the majority. Susan Collins came out and said, you know, I really think we need more witnesses. I really think we do. She said in a tweet, I will vote in support of the motion to allow witnesses and documents to be subpoenaed. And then she put in her full case. This is her full statement, by the way. We have heard the cases argued and the questions answered. In keeping with the model used for the impeachment trial of President Clinton at this point, senators are able to make an informed judgment about what is in dispute and what is important to the underlying issues. I worked with colleagues to ensure the schedule for the trial included a guaranteed up or down vote on whether or not to call witnesses. I believe hearing from certain witnesses would give each side the opportunity to more fully and fairly make their case, resolve any ambiguities, and provide additional clarity. Therefore, I will vote in support of the motion to allow witnesses and documents to be subpoenaed. If this motion passes, I believe that the most sensible way to proceed would be for the House managers and the president's attorneys to attempt to agree on a limited and equal number of witnesses for each side. If they can't agree, then the Senate could choose the number of witnesses. All right, let's go ahead and muddy that water a little bit. You want to say, sure, both sides should be able to call additional witnesses, but we want to limit how many. We want it to be equal on both sides. And we think that if they can't figure that out, we'll decide for you. Now, wait a minute. You've got jurors sitting here. You've got 100 jurors, and they're all deciding whether or not they want to allow for more additional witnesses? Senator Collins, you had the House managers interview multiple people. They all had their tryouts, remember, in the skiff in the dead of night in the House basement. Of the ones they decided they were going to use, they listed 18 witnesses. Don't give me this nonsense that there were no witnesses and that you're going to be going forward with no witnesses. There were 18. And, 17 were presented. The one, we don't even have the transcript because Adam Schiff, for some reason, doesn't want the IG report or the deposition to explain where he was. So you got one person that he's like, we're not gonna include that in our trial. We're gonna include the other 17, the ones that Adam Schiff said prove over and over and over again that the president is worthy of being removed from office. So now, Susan Collins, can I ask, what are you missing? Adam Schiff told you to your face 31 or maybe 32 times, we have proven our case. What more do you need? Where's your doubt? You think John Bolton coming in is going to help you? You think giving the Republicans a sacrificial witness as well to bring in? You think a Hunter Biden guest is going to do it? What about the whistleblower? And, by the way, you just said in here you would vote to allow the issuance of subpoenas. Why did Adam Schiff not choose to do that from the House? Do you remember? Oh, because it was going to take too much time. That's charge two, obstruction of Congress. We don't want to fight this and litigate it in the courts. We don't have that kind of time. We've got an election coming up, and we can't trust the American voters to make that decision. We can't trust that we'll have a valid election if we leave the president on the ballot. We need to remove him now. Remember that? I remember that. Susan Collins, what are you looking for? The sense of looking, I just want to look like I'm open-minded and fair. damn the Constitution, damn process, damn everything we've ever done before, even damn the Biden rule that was established during the Clinton impeachment. And in fact, I think we should get to that. I think we should get to the introduction of what Joe Biden and Senator Minority Leader Chuck Schumer supported in terms of that call for more witnesses. Oh, but it was different when it was Bill Clinton in office. It's totally opposite now that it's a Republican in office. Hey, happy Friday. Hope you're enjoying yourselves wherever you are listening across this great state of ours on the on Eric's radio network all across Georgia, Eric Erickson Show. I'm Alan Sanders filling in, listening. You guys are out there in Athens and Rome and Dalton, Jasper, Adel, Valdosta, Vidalia, Clarksville, and Macon. Thanks so much for tuning in and being out there. If you want to be part of the program, follow me on Facebook or Twitter. My Twitter account is Alan J. Sanders, spelled like a four-letter word, A-L-A-N-J Sanders. No spaces, no dots, no dashes, just all together. Or The Alan Sanders Show on Facebook. We're talking about this call for witnesses. Yesterday, the question answers, the Q&A, it's over, it's done. But we had at least two people last night sit on both sides of this aisle from the Republicans. Lamar Alexander, who's getting a lot of leftist grief today, has decided, I've heard everything. Adam Schiff said he's given us his case. He says it's overwhelming and it's beyond a reasonable doubt to him. I don't need to have any more witnesses. Hey, wait a minute. Are you applying logic and reason in that discussion? Wait, hold your horses. Are you suggesting that when the lead prosecutor tells you they've covered all the bases, dotted the I's, crossed the T's, and it's so obvious there's no reason why you would vote to keep the president? There's no reason you would acquit? Why do you need more witnesses? What's the point there? Susan Collins argues the exact opposite. I think it would be nice to hear from additional people. I also think we should keep it fair and even, and each side gets one witness so we can keep it even and keep it fair. Oh, because Adam Schiff ran such a fair process to begin with. Oh, it had to be rushed through. It had to happen all so quickly. We actually decided we couldn't go to court. We're just going to throw an obstruction of Congress in there because we believe the president was going to fight our subpoenas anyway, claiming executive privilege. So the fact that we think he's going to claim executive privilege to things we haven't even subpoenaed is an obstruction of Congress. Did you know that? Article 1, abuse of power. Anytime you do something that could benefit the office of the presidency, it's an abuse of power. And anytime you do something that we think you might use the court system to stop us or slow us down or to actually maybe even slap us in the face, we call that obstruction of Congress. There you go. Foot's off the bag. You're out of there. Oh, but wait. That's not quite so easy, is it? What you have done is you've set a new bar, a new low for impeachment level. I want you all out there, everybody who is siding with the House managers, I want you to understand what they've been arguing for the last week here, every bit of it has set a brand new low for what it will take to impeach a president. I think welcome to the dawn of every president from now on facing articles of impeachment, or at least impeachment inquiries in the House between the Judiciary Committee, the Intelligence Committee, maybe Foreign Affairs Committee, whatever it's going to be, you're going to find that someone's going to say, well, wait a minute, according to the last impeachment, when a president does something to benefit him or her in office, even if it benefits the American people, we don't have to think about that. If it benefits that person in office, then we can impeach them. Oh, and if we ask to see the world, we say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. President, we want you to provide every single memo, every single email, every single document since you took office, because we believe if we dig through it, we're going to find that you did something illegal. And if the president goes, well, you can't do that. I'm going to go to the courts and tell you that you can't do that because we have executive privilege. Boom. Article 2 of impeachment. You have obstructed Congress. That's what you're getting. We think Mitt Romney is going to lean in with a vote for witnesses, and we think that Lisa Murkowski is still thinking about it. But here's the problem. The minute Lamar Alexander said he was not going to go with this idea of more witnesses, the worst that can happen for the president is a tie now. You would need four senators to switch. I gave you the four. If Susan Collins, if Lisa Murkowski and Mitt Romney all vote that they would like to see subpoenas issued for more witnesses and more documents, but Lamar Alexander says, no, we've seen enough. It's a 50-50 split. It's a tie. Now, in baseball, the tie goes to the runner. In this case, the tie goes to the defense. Because if the prosecution can't muster up enough overwhelming evidence, can't argue their point to a degree that you can get enough people to vote for it, that it ends up being a tie. Now, some people say, well, wait a minute, what's Justice Roberts doing? Well, Justice Roberts has gone on the record saying he's not the president of the Senate. He's presiding over the case. He's not going to now insert himself as though he is a senator. So he said he is not going to be a tie-breaking vote. So if he doesn't weigh in, which I agree he shouldn't be, and oh, let's just discuss this. You've got at least seven senators, three that are front runners, but seven who have at least put their name in the hat at one point or another. Some have dropped out, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker. You've got at least seven senators who, of course, no matter what, are going to vote to remove the president. Why? Because they want to have the office. You've got seven people who ran or are running against Donald Trump already, but they're going to get a vote. It is what it is. Yeah, I think they're going to be giving it a fair and level assessment. You think they're going at it thinking, oh, I need to do the right thing for the American people. No, they're going to do the right thing for their party. Oh, but wait, guess what next time around? Abuse of power. You put the benefit to your party above the benefit of the country. You chose to ignore the Constitution in favor of bettering the party. See how easy this new definition of abuse of power is going to be manipulated? Do you see how easy it's going to be to level impeachment from now on? Told you I wanted to get to the Biden rule. Oh, this was great. The Joe Biden rule. This came up during the Bill Clinton impeachment. When the tables were turned, there was a question as to whether or not they should bring in more witnesses into the Senate to discuss the evidence further, because it had already had a pretty solid case for 11 crimes committed by Bill Clinton, not sex crimes. If you folks would just pick up a book and read something for a change instead of just going with whatever you saw on social media, he committed perjury. He committed 11 total felonies. Now, can you argue, were they really the same kind of felonies as, let's say, he had murdered somebody or he had sold out the country with some kind of a profit-sharing scheme, if he had done something that rose to a bribe or treason? You know, there are different felonies. We know that. That's a different argument for another day. But he had 11 individual crimes, which resulted in two different articles of impeachment. But this came up as a result, and I want you to hear this. Hopefully the audio is a little echoey because of the way it was recorded, but this is Jay Sekulow introducing what Joe Biden said should be the basis for whether or not witnesses are called in an impeachment.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the Senate, in a memorandum dated January 5th, 1999, that is captioned, Arguments in Support of Summary Impeachment Trial, Senator Biden discussed some history first regarding two Senate impeachment proceedings that were put forward in the Senate that were summarily decided. And this is what he said. These two cases demonstrate that the Senate may dismiss articles of impeachment without holding a full trial or taking any evidence. Put another way, the Constitution does not impose on the Senate the duty to hold a trial. In fact, the Senate need not hold a trial even though the House wishes to present evidence and hold a full trial and the elements of jurisdiction are present.
I'm going to pause there. I'll get to more of what he said. I wanted to get to that first little nugget. Joe Biden, as a senator, and we're going to hear with support of Senator Schumer from New York during the Bill Clinton actual impeachment in the trial in the Senate, said that there is ample evidence that the Constitution says that the Senate is under no obligation to bring in additional evidence or witnesses. In fact, they do not have to conduct a full trial. They can go on the case as presented, looking at the articles of impeachment and deciding, did the House managers present a case compelling enough to warrant the removal from office? Joe Biden, running for president right now, along with Chuckie Schumer, both said that the Senate is under no obligation to somehow create a full trial to go out and look for more evidence or bring in more witnesses. Let's hear what else was said.
He went on to say, in a number of previous impeachment trials, the Senate has reached the judgment that in its constitutional role as sole trier of impeachment does not require it to take new evidence or hear live witness testimony. This follows from the Senate's considerations for motions for summary disposition in at least three trials, and it listed the three trials of Judges Ritter, Claiborne, and Nixon. In each, the Senate considered a motion for summary disposition on the merits. In no case did the Senate decline to consider a motion for summary disposition as beyond the Senate's authority or forbidden by the Constitution. The framers did not mean that this political process was to be a partisan process. Instead, they meant it to be political in the higher sense. The process was to be conducted in the way that would best secure the public interest, or in their phrase, the general welfare.
Joe Biden arguing before the Senate that the framers never intended an impeachment to be a partisan witch hunt, to be a one-sided affair, to a hot-blooded House deciding we have the majority, we have the overwhelming ability to ram impeachment articles through, we're going to do it, and we're going to force the Senate to expand the investigation. You cannot expect that that is what the framers intended of the Constitution. Joe Biden said it. Chuck Schumer said it. So why the change of heart now? Why the change of heart now? Why are we suddenly looking at this notion that we need to expand the investigation that, according to Adam Schiff, is proven over and over and over again so thoroughly and so, quote, overwhelmingly? Why do we need more? I like the Biden rule. The Biden rule basically states what the Constitution states and what precedent has stated. The precedence is there, that the Senate's job, the sole job, is to try the impeachment. And this is not a criminal trial in the sense that we've seen on Law and Order and television. And, you know, if we go down to our local courthouse and watch the magistrate court work, or the, you know, small claims court, this is an impeachment trial with its own rules and its own way of proceeding. It is a political process. Remember when they said that if you don't deliver the articles themselves, if you just vote to impeach, but you never deliver them, that you can't say the president's been impeached because it is a process? Remember that? Remember before the holidays, the big story was, can you even say the president's been impeached if Nancy Pelosi's going to sit on it? And she sat on it for what, 33 days? Oh, it's so urgent, we had to do it now. But we're going to sit on it for about a month. Doesn't that give you even just a moment's pause as to the veracity of the case? Is it a real legitimate case? Are you really winning over the hearts and minds of people when you say this is so important, we've got to do it now, but we want to take a break and hold on it for 33 days? Then we're going to slow walk it over in some kabuki theater through the House, from the House side to the Senate. You know, that slow walk, that didn't look like you were delivering articles of impeachment. That looked like you were delivering Donald Trump 2020. Because it was stupid. You're making it all about the show. All about the show, not about the tell. It's all like Adam Schiff. I'm going to put it in certain ways so it looks a certain way, and I'm going to frame it in just a certain way. And I'm not going to actually give you the ability to poke holes in it. I'm going to keep telling you, no, you can only look at it from the front. You can't look at it from the side. You can't look at it from the back. You can't look at it from up or down. You have to look at it straight on the way I say to look at it. And if you choose to look at it a different way, well, you're wrong, and you're part of a cover-up. Speaking of moving into, I want to get one more soundbite in here about, quote, covering up. I don't think it's a cover-up, but Rand Paul did his best to try to get a question read that supposedly was going to list the whistleblower, although he made a statement that it didn't. Before we take a break, I do want to play that bite quickly of Justice Roberts, who was because he has to read every question aloud. And this is what happened when Rand Paul tried to have his question read before the House managers and the president's defense team.
Excuse me. The question from Senator Loeffler and the other senators is for the counsel for the president. As reported by Politico, quote, in January 1999, then Senator Joe Biden argued strongly.
Whoop, that's the wrong one. Sorry. I'll get to that one in a second. I'm so sorry. I got so many sound bites up in front of me. Let me get the one that I wanted to play where Justice Roberts literally tells the Rand Paul that I have refused to read this question, that he elects not to read a question because in his mind it was going to out the whistleblower. So I found that to be an interesting one to play. And I think I've got it right. Come on, there it is right here, I believe.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the
nope.
Senate.
I'll have to find it on the break. I'm sorry. I will get it, and because I think it's funny Rand Paul's response when we come back. All right, I found it. I had two different audio windows open, one with audio from one place I was pulling notes and things for today, and one where I was getting other sound bites. And I just completely forgot which bucket that audio was in. But let's get to Chief Justice Roberts refusing to ask Rand Paul's question.
Senator from Kentucky.
I have a question to present to the desk for the House Manager Schiff and for the President's Counsel.
Thank you.
The presiding officer declines to read the question as submitted.
So Senator Paul actually left the well upset about trying to get a question out there about showing that there was a conversation that had taken place between two previous Obama holdovers, of which he didn't name a whistleblower, but he did name another individual, and said, I wanted to know if the two of those individuals had been overheard by multiple sources saying they were planning an impeachment well before this impeachment investigation ever began. So here was what Senator Paul then said out in the hallway after after storming kind of out of the well of the Senate.
I don't know who the whistleblower is. Adam Schiff doesn't know who the whistleblower is. My question's not about the whistleblower. My question's about two people who are friends who work together at the National Security Council who have been overheard talking about impeaching the president years in advance of a process that then was created to get the impeachment process going.
I mean, isn't that a relevant question? He didn't ask about the whistleblower. And this whole notion that Adam Schiff doesn't know who the whistleblower is? Come on. Adam, come on. You can get the jig is up. You already got caught. That's why he's not testifying. That's why we've got no whistleblower. We don't even have a deposition recorded in secret, you know, keeping him in shadows and disguising the voice and just giving the text over. Nope, we got nothing because Adam Schiff says we've proven our case beyond a reasonable doubt in other ways. Oh, okay. But you keep saying you want more witnesses, but the one person who supposedly started this all, no. Why bring him in? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. We love this idea that we don't have to bring in the key person that started this thing. We've already proven our case elsewhere. Oh, you did? Well, if you have, why are you now saying you need more witnesses? In fact, do you even realize CNN's John King actually brought this up? I got to play it. If I told you he said this, you would think I was pulling a Schiff and putting words in his mouth. This is John King, CNN's John King, talking about the whistleblower.
Rand Paul went first and allowed him to ask. He asked his question. Named somebody that Rand Paul believes to be the whistleblower, and the Chief Justice has made clear he wants no part of that, will have no part of that, and he's not going to do it. Rand Paul continues to air his grievances. He continues to air them in other ways on social media. I'm not going to help him promote that. He thought it was important to do this in this setting. Even his friend Lindsey Graham said, while he thinks there are legitimate questions here, this was not the place to do it. Call that a political stunt. Rand Paul would say it's a principled argument. Republicans make a good point. The whistleblower started all this. Why has the whistleblower never been questioned? Shouldn't the House Democrats have found a secure way to do that? It's a legitimate point as we go through this.
It's a legitimate point of debate as we go through this. Why did the House managers not find a secure way to be able to get the testimony from the key person who started it all from the very beginning? You've already got CNN cracking, saying, well, we better give ourselves a little bit of a wiggle room here because, you know, the vote's coming today, folks. It's coming today. They're going to decide whether or not to allow for witnesses. If for some strange reason Lamar Alexander goes back on his word and they do get the ability to subpoena witnesses, here's what's going to happen. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. From me to you, I'm more confident in telling you that the president gets his acquittal before end of business today. Well, before the Senate the trial is gaveled close and done and in the books. I'm telling you right now, you're hearing it at 9:57 Eastern Standard Time, that at the end of this session, at the end of what, however long they schedule it for today, that after all the different requests for witnesses, requests for other things, all the other motions, they're going to take a vote on Article 1. They're going to take a vote on Article 2. Don't be surprised if Democrats cross the aisle, as they did. The only bipartisan vote so far in this entire farce has been when the full House voted to impeach the president, to send those articles over. You had three different Democrats choose not to, and one changed parties. How about that? Chose to go to the minority party. So the only other bipartisan vote I think we're going to get is then the acquittal on Articles 1 and 2, where you're going to have all of the Republicans say, no, we're not removing the president from office. And you're going to have two or three, maybe more, but two or three Democrats. I'll tell you the three, I think, after the top of the hour. But you'll have two or three Democrats that I think are going to say, you know what? I'm in a state that could very easily kick me out of my seat, and I like my seat. So don't think that they're all being altruistic up there on the bench or in their seats. They want to be reelected. They want power. They want to continue to stay in the well of the Senate and play with all the cool toys you get in Washington. But I think the only bipartisan vote you're going to get is going to be the outside of the bipartisan vote to not file articles of impeachment. I do believe you're going to see a bipartisan vote to acquit the president on both Articles 1 and 2.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.